If the apostles' time demanded wakeful spirits, much more do these times. Alas, how many so-called Christians are fast asleep? The enemy is upon them, and they do not heed the approach. They are not awake to the calls of duty. We must shake off the torpor of indifference. Sleepy men are an easy prey to evil. This is a quote coming to you from the preacher's homiletic commentary. In this broadcast, we are continuing our new series based on the theme, Striving for the Mastery. In this particular broadcast, we will use as our main text two verses of Scripture. First of all, from Romans 13:11, Paul said, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." And the second verse of Scripture is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:6, where Paul said, "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Okay, going back to Romans 13:11, looking at this verse of Scripture, Paul said, "Knowing the time." Now, he is speaking to Christians here. He is not speaking to the sinner. He is speaking to active Christians. And he said, "Knowing the time." He is telling believers, you are to know the time in which you live. You are to know the season, the movements of the world around you. And in our case, Paul would be telling us, you are living in the end times. This is the last time. We are living in perilous times, evil times, times of great trial. But at the same time, it's a busy time because it's the time of the gospel light. We do not know how much more time we have to get the gospel out. The night is coming when no man can work. It's a busy time, a time of gospel light. We need to get the truth out. And we must know the time in which we're living. Paul said, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. It's time, Christians, for you to awake, to wake up, to awake to consideration, to action, and to diligent effort. It's time to rise up, to arm yourself with spiritual weapons, to walk, to work. It's high time to awake out of sleep. And what Paul was talking about there was a time of inactivity or insensibility. He was saying it's a time to shake off all slothfulness, all insensibility, all stupid, fatal indifference to eternal things. It's time to shake off carnal security, sloth, negligence, carelessness, unbelief, or hard-heartedness. And then the motive he used to stir the Christians from their sleepiness, their slumber, their slothfulness, he said, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's time, high time, to awake out of sleep. Because you are advancing nearer to heaven. You're hastening to the world of glory, to the kingdom of light. Time is short, Christian. Time is being pressed together. It's being squeezed together. Our salvation is nearer than when we believed. It's a time to stir yourself up, to strain toward the mark. And here he's referring to the race that is set before us. And you know that when a runner is getting nearer to the goal, he starts running faster. So it's a time for you to run faster than you ever did. You're reaching the goal. You're nearer to your salvation than you ever have been. Now's the time to live more fully unto the Lord. And with that in mind, Paul gives this warning in 1 Thessalonians 5:6. He said, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. There are others that are asleep. There are people in this world that are asleep spiritually, but not you, Christians. You are not to sleep as do others. You're not to be sleeping at a time like this. And what's implied there, and we see it all around us, is we are living in an age of drowsiness. When you look around, you see so many people that are asleep spiritually speaking. They have no idea what's going on or where they're headed, where their end will be. They're going further and further toward the cliff and don't even realize it. It's an age of drowsiness where there's so many distractions trying to just take our time and get us our focus off of eternity and eternal things. I'm reminded of the example, the illustration in Pilgrim's Progress, when a Christian and hopeful were journeying toward the celestial city, and I'm not sure which one said it, but Christian said, to prevent drowsiness in this place, let us fall into good discourse. Well, this is one way that you can promote Christian wakefulness. This is one way to keep yourself awake, and that is to involve yourself in Christian conversation and conversation with other Christians concerning the things of God, the ways of the Lord, concerning the coming of the Lord. Talk with other Christians. Keep the conversation about the Lord. Keep it going, and that'll keep you awake in this age of drowsiness. Charles Spurgeon also said, live near to the cross, and thou wilt not sleep. Live close to the cross. Keep your focus on what Jesus did there, and you will not fall asleep. But he said, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. That word watch there is Gregorio in the Greek. Gregorio, it means be awake, be alert. Be alert to spiritual reality. Stay awake. Stay alert. And be sober. That word sober in the Greek is nepho, and it means free from every form of mental and spiritual drunkenness. Don't get intoxicated by the ways of the world. Stay disciplined. Live a disciplined life. Keep looking for the return of Jesus. Okay, so Paul told us, know the times, that it's time to awake out of sleep. Shake off all indifference to eternal things, because your salvation is nearer than when you believed. You are nearer to heaven, nearer to your goal. So it's not a time to sleep. It's a time to run faster, live more fully unto God. Don't sleep as do others. You're living in an age of drowsiness. And if you have to converse with other Christians, talk about the things of God. Talk about the coming of the Lord. Live near to the cross and watch. Stay awake. Stay alert. Keep alert to spiritual realities and avoid the intoxicating influences of the world. Live a disciplined life and stay calm in your spirit. Okay, so we saw Paul gave us these admonitions to stay awake, the time in which we're living, this age of drowsiness. But how do you know whether or not you have fallen asleep or you're falling asleep? How do you know this? Well, we want to look in our closing moments here. We want to look at 5 points that show you out of the scriptures that you are falling asleep or you're spiritually asleep. Number one, the first way, how do you know if you're spiritually asleep? If you need to wake up, if you need to stir yourself? Number one, if you are full of excuses. Proverbs 26:13 says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. Proverbs 22:13 is a corresponding verse. It says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. Here is this slothful man, this slumbering man. He has this lion in his mind. This is a mere fiction of his brain. There is no lion. This is a lie. It's purely imaginary. It's not real. But he sees these difficulties that stand in his way, the hindrances, and he imagines them to be like a lion, that a lion in the way, a lion in the streets, a lion without. And so he is asleep, he's slothful, so he doesn't want to put in the effort, so he invents these vain, frivolous excuses to use against those who are upbraiding him for his slumber. They're telling him, wake up, come on, get going, wake up. Don't you know what time it is? Wake up. And so he invents these excuses. Oh, there's a lion in the way. There's a lion without. All these dangers, all these difficulties in the way, they're more than I can face. And not only does he have these excuses, but he uses exaggerations. A lion in the streets. Well, that's the most ridiculous thing, because you don't find lions in the streets of towns or cities. Lions are abiding in woods or fields. So here he has a bit of an exaggeration to excuse himself for his slothfulness, for his slumber. But notice what's not slumbering or slothful. His own tongue. His tongue is very active. And not only that, but his imagination is certainly not idle. It's very active. Okay, so the number one point, you are full of excuses if you are spiritually asleep. Secondly, how do you know if you're spiritually asleep? If you need to wake up, you need to stir yourself when you make no progress, spiritually speaking. We read in Proverbs 26:14, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so does the slothful upon his bed. Here is this man, he's spiritually sleeping. He's likened unto the door upon his hinges. Now you see this door, it moves hither and thither, but it doesn't remove one jot from its place. The door swings perpetually upon its hinges without moving a step from its fixed position. It doesn't make any progress. It moves, so it's moving this way, that way, opens and shuts, but it doesn't go anywhere. And this is the way the man is who's spiritually asleep. Oh yeah, there's movement. There's motion, there's movement, but that's deceiving. That's deceiving. He's like that door. You know, you could be moving 10, 20, 30 years in your profession of Christianity. You could show some movement. But if you don't have any new ground, or you don't have any new spiritual knowledge or experience, you're still at the same place you were at the beginning. You're spiritually asleep. You're like that door that's turning on its hinges. Okay, so the second point, the person who's spiritually asleep makes no progress, spiritually speaking. The third point, how do you know if you're spiritually asleep? If you're a man or a woman of desire, but not of endeavor. We could say it this way, if you're a dreamer. Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing. Now this person has the wish, but not the will. He likes the result, but he hates the process. by which the result is obtained. He's always desiring. Always desiring more. I want more. I want the anointing. I want more of God. I want more. But he's never at the pains. He's never at the pains to get anything. He desires an object, but he won't work for it. He desires the gains, but hates the pains to get it, to get what he desires. That's someone who's spiritually asleep. Then we go to number four. How do you know if you are spiritually asleep? If you let whatever you gain slip through your hands through lack of effort and attention. Proverbs 12:27 says, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting." The man who is spiritually asleep, he gets something from the Lord. He gets something. Maybe he was in a meeting and he received a touch from the Lord, or he received an experience with the Lord, but then he doesn't do anything with it, and he lets it just slip through his hands through lack of effort and attention. He doesn't put a finishing touch on it. He doesn't improve his opportunity. God gives him something, but he doesn't go further with it, doesn't develop it, and it just slips through his hands through lack of effort and attention. And lastly, how do you know if you are spiritually asleep? By number five, if you put off, if you're a procrastinator, you don't make any preparation for the future. Proverbs 6:10 says, "Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep." This person just wants yet a little, just a little bit more time, just a little bit more time here, a little bit more amusement, just a little bit more ease. Just give me a few more minutes here before I start that, before I get going on that project, before I do what God told me to do. And there's delay, putting off, trifling away opportunities, sleeping away opportunities, so that he could have just a little, yet a little, yet a little. Makes no preparation for the future, idling and sleeping away time, so he could have just a little. Just a little bit more. Just put it off, put it off. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let me ask you, are you spiritually prepared or spiritually unprepared? Are you spiritually asleep or are you spiritually awake? You know, we look at the 10 virgins. They all seem to have the same character. Five had oil in their vessel, five did not. But you know, it was in a time of crisis when we saw the real difference between the five virgins. So Paul is telling us here, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Our time is up for today's broadcast, but I encourage you, stay tuned for our next teaching as we continue our study of the theme, Striving for the Mastery. This is Connie Giordano with Walking in Truth Ministry, praying that you will walk in the truth every day of your life. In Jesus' name, amen.